Well, we're part of the Irish Connection radio show where we like to get up close and personal with the people in the music business. And today, as opposed to getting up with an artist that's making the music, we're going to get up close and personal with a gentleman who photographs various artists musically and has been around the music business for a long time, both in England and, of course, in America as well. And that is Nick Elliott. Nick, thank you so much indeed for being here with us.
Hi, Sean. Good to be here, mate.
Listen, tell us, what was it that made you want to take up being a photographer? I mean, was it something that you liked when you were at school?
Well, it goes way back. It goes way back to that far, actually. I mean, it's all I've done. It's all I've ever wanted to do. It started off really through influence from my father, which come at a very early age. We used to go out and do, you know, the kind of odd animal snap and that kind of stuff, go back to our home dark room and, you know, process dead print, etc., etc. And it just really went from there. And then I started in the business as a press photographer and then worked from the ground up, really, into what I do now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you say you started off as a press photographer, were you freelance or did you actually, were you contracted to work for a specific magazine or newspaper?
Yes, I went into the newspapers, which was at that time the Peterborough Evening Telegraph and Advertiser. That was two papers owned by East Midland Allied Press, as they used to be called, which is EMAP. And then went on to freelance for a lot of various different magazines, a lot of motor magazines. I was racing motorcycles at the time, so I was heavily involved in doing stuff for motorcycle news and motorcycle and bike, this kind of stuff.
And what was the, because I mean I know a lot of people that are really interested in cameras. I know my production assistant Kathy Barkley is one of those. I mean, what was one of the very first cameras that you ever had the pleasure of owning?
Actually, it was the Kodak Brownie, the legendary Kodak Brownie, which I still have actually in a small museum at my studio, because I actually kind of I keep everything that all of the cameras and equipment that I've ever used, and as it's been improved over the years. I just actually put it all into mothballs, into a personal museum that I have.
Mm-hmm. I mean, talking like of the museum, because like going all the way back to when you started, I mean, how do you think the photography business in respect of cameras, how do you think they've improved?
Well, I think the digi revolution of everything moving away from film, the traditional wet room, dark room, which is my background, I think has opened up a lot more possibilities. Some of them for better, a lot of them for the worse.
Which do you actually prefer, if you had a choice of using a camera that uses the real film or using some of this digital that you can sort of see the reproductive picture there and then, which would you actually prefer as a professional photographer?
Well, I've got to say that I was quite late in kind of leaving the film behind and moving into digi totally, which I now do. I used to share the medium between digi, so I'd run digi camera and shoot film cameras at the same time. But to be honest, the digi cameras now have become so perfect at what they're doing that, in all honesty, Sean, they're very much up and more advanced than film ever was. And you can do a lot more real creative and special new things with the digi format now.
Mm-hmm. Like you were saying that you worked with the Peterborough Evening Herald, and when was it that you actually first got into taking photographs of actual stars that were in the actual music business?
Well, the first pro band that I photographed was a rock band called Trapeze, with members like Glenn Hughes, who went on to do Black Country Communion there with Joe Bonamassa and Jason Bonham, also from Deep Purple. So that was the first pro band that I ever actually shot. And then I specialised in the music industry coming up to about 16 years ago now. And that's all I shoot.
I mean, well, you talked about that you've done, Trapeze was one of the first bands, I mean, and you did Deep Purple and stuff like that. I mean, and now, of course, also, you have been over to Nashville where you've photographed some of the top country acts as well, haven't you?
Well, I did a few, my first kind of introduction to the US and Nashville was last November. I was over there for the CMA Awards, and I was working over there with a couple of guys from the UK that went out there that were cutting some EPs and laying down some stuff over in a couple of studios in Nashville. So So I managed to hook up and do some work with a legendary guitar player out there called Brett Mason, and a real selective band of session musicians that have been put together for the recording session that we were over there for. And I also did quite a few more bits and bobs and a lot of promo out there for basically breaking into the US into the folk rock market.
When you're doing photographs of either rock bands or country bands, I mean, do you get as excited as the fans do? Because, I mean, you see people that take ordinary photos, and I've done it, and you get really excited being able to get a photo of, let's say, some important artist and that. I mean, do you get as excited? Because obviously you have been a photographer and you've been around the music business a long time, and you've photographed loads and loads of different, you know, singers and bands. And do you still get excited with every new one that you do?
Not every new one, to be honest, Sean. I mean, you know, I've always kind of, I'm very lucky doing what I do because I only specialise in certain areas of the business. You know, there's only certain genres that I will go near, which is the rock, country, folk, and a bit of blues. So I don't go near the mainstream kind of, you know, as I put it, NME bands, you know, that kind of stuff. So a lot of the guys that I have worked with and continue to work with are my heroes. These are people that, you know, made me what I am today. You know, it goes way, way back to sitting in dark rooms, thrashing out loud music, you know, smoking yourself stupid and looking at, you know, album artwork, you know.
And do you ever get any ones, I mean, I know from speaking to David Redfern, another photographer, do you ever get any ones that, you know, point blank will refuse to let you take their picture or just say, no way, I don't want any photographs done or anything like that?
You do get, to be honest, Sean, it's not so much the artist that kind of put those, you know, kind of restrictions on you or contractual issues. It's usually the middlemen, you know, record companies, management, this kind of stuff. Probably, no, I don't think I've ever had a case where I've been refused. I mean, I have a very high profile in the business anyway. You know, a lot of guys know what I do. I know a lot of guys, and, you know, it's very much an incestuous type of gig anyway, the music business, as no doubt you know. Mm-hmm. But you get one or two. They're not mega awkward, you know, but things can change in small amounts of time, we can say.
Do you find that, I mean, and I asked somebody else this before, and I mean, I find it the same way at both doing interviews with them. Do you find that sometimes the smaller stars are more awkward than the big, sort of, as we call, mega stars?
Well, I think there's a bit of an issue going on around the business period at the minute, certainly in the rock world. You know, there's a lot of bands kind of losing themselves on exactly, you know, their status, their position in the business as recording artists, you know, as performers. I think it comes with really this celebrity type of vibe that we've got in the UK now that really has taken over from the realness of it all. It's a bit of a shame, really, Sean, because the whole thing is becoming harder and harder and a lot more untouchable, which I think somebody really needs to get hold of it and kind of look at it, you know, which would be nice.
Because I agree with, because like in some cases, I mean, as you said, the middlemen put too many restrictions on people like fans and that taking pictures. Because I mean, when you think about that, somebody pays 50, 60, 70, 80 pounds for a ticket to go and see an artist, and then they're not allowed to take a picture of them. I mean, to me now, I don't know how you feel as a professional photographer, but I feel sometimes that's a bit over the top.
Well, I think, to be honest, Jordan, looking at it from the artist performance point of view, I think it's a good thing. Not outside the professionalism of what I do, but it also has made the business very difficult, a lot more difficult to work in. But with, again, the invention of mobile phones and being able to, you know, take shots of these guys, there's a lot of stuff that then unfortunately floods the market that is really, really poor image quality from many, many respects.
Good answer. Now, out of all the artists that you've done, let's just do the rock world first of all. I mean, who would you say was your favourite person or favourite band to actually photograph?
That would have to be Robert Plant.
When he was with Led Zeppelin or when he left them and was solo?
No, when he was with So it was when he was with a band, one of his own kind of projects called Priory of Ryan, and he kind of loosely tripped into the folk roots and the kind of blues world. Well, then, as we know, Led Zeppelin never really moved away from the blues world, and nor was Robert Plant. But, you know, this was a small outfit, literally a personal project that he did. So that was my introduction to Robert.
And which would you say was probably the, I mean, it's hard to say because obviously, like, it's like picking, you know, it's like artists picking records or picking their, sure, their favorite. Which was one would you say has been the most awkwardest band or artist that you've ever had the pleasure to photograph, but you eventually was able to get around and get the folder that you required?
Well, I think awkward, I wouldn't say. I wouldn't use that terminology, to be honest, Sean. The most kind of, I would say, camera shy, a guy that was aware that this was being done, it was going on, and he wasn't really too comfortable with it, would be the late, great Gary Moore.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is strange. I know it is. I mean, a legend as the guy was, but he really got a bit of an issue where it come to, you know, working with photographers and that kind of stuff, which, you know, you can understand. Some people have got this. You know, but you respect it, you go along with what they want to do, and, you know, it's a thing, it's a joint thing, how you work with these people, you know, but don't get me wrong, I mean, the respect I have for the band as a musician and a player is immense.
And what about now that you've moved into the sort of country field and eventually is getting in there, and you've been doing it since sort of like last November? I mean, have you taken any memorable snaps of artists that you think, yeah, for, you know, for something that I didn't know an awful lot about the country field, this is a really, really good picture and a good artist?
Well, in all fairness, my introduction to the country rock and country folk kind of market was way before last November. My kind of experiences of a lot of these guys, the US guys, which I have a hell of a lot of respect for, has really been Cambridge Folk Festival, because Cambridge Folk Festival is one of the few festivals in the UK that actually manages to bring US artists over and you know, helps to break these guys this side of the water. I have worked in various different guises for artists, record companies and media, the Cambridge Folk Festival, for the past 11 years. So I've had quite a lot of experience with the Americans, and so started to move a lot more, and I was actually invited to, you know, go along to bring my style of English rock photography into the US market, into the kind of country rock market, which is why I ended up going to Nashville in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever been down, I mean, talking of festivals, because you mentioned the Cambridge Rock, what about the Americana in Newark and Nottingham?
Actually, I was asked to do some stuff there this year, but I'm actually at Sonisphere with Metallica at the same weekend. So it's a bit difficult to actually pull away from the Metallica gig. It's been, you know, in the frame for some time.
Right.
No. It's a bit of a shame, really, because, again, with the UK, well, I suppose it's very much the climate in that scenario. These things do kind of lap over.
Yeah.
So I haven't actually been fortunate enough to go near the Americana Festival as yet, George.
All right. Now, also, now tell us about the book that you've just had published.
Well, the book is it's my debut book. It's called A Decade in Images, and it's basically 10 years of the Cambridge Folk Festival through the eyes and lens of rock photographer Nick Elliott. This is an official book. There's actually two versions and three covers. The first cover's on the standard edition has Joan Baez on the front, the second has Robert Plant. And then there's a deluxe version, which is leather bound, signed by me, all in a flight case that's liveried up, and it's an awesome bit of gear. It's really, really nice. And it is an image book, and that's what it is. It is imagery-led. There is quite a bit of reference to the Cambridge Folk Festival, obviously, but that is visually rather than text and copy. So it's not a reference book, it is an image book of my favourite images from the past 10 years of the Cambridge Folk Festival.
Did it take you a long time to actually select the pictures that you were going to put in there for the book, or did you already have an idea in your mind before you actually came down to doing the book?
Well, I've got a vast archive of imagery from purely the Cambridge Film Festival because of the people that I've worked with there. It took pretty much, I think, well, the publisher actually approached me about 2 years ago, which is a publisher called Rufus Stone Limited Editions. They're a music book specialist, and they wanted to do a section of volumes of books of rock photography of my work. And then we decided to do that about 18 months ago. They liked the stuff so much, they then came to me and said, well, look, you know, we'd like to do more of it. You know, you've got carte blanche to do what you want to do. What would you like to do? And I said, well, I'd like to do something on the Cambridge Film Festival. And at that stage, I very much decided that if I ever did, again, this is a kind of, it's a long-term project. It's something which I've wanted to do for a long time, Sean. And you know, it's a case of where I've got very, you know, kind of fixed ideas with a lot of the images that would figure in the book if it ever came off. And then when this approach came, I thought, fantastic, this is great, I've wanted to do this for a long, long time, here we go, let's put it all together. And actually it's only just now got totally finished, the imagery for it. The thing went on pre-sale 5 weeks ago and comes out in hardback, paperback copy, as it were, in the flesh. The festival weekend, which is the last weekend in July.
Oh, that's brilliant. Now, also, if the people are interested in getting hold of the book, they can get it through your website. Tell them all about your website, and the address of it and everything else.
Okay. Well, they can actually purchase the book from the publisher, which is rslimitededitions.com. Everything is on there along with all the kind of press and media stuff, etc., etc. Or you can buy it from my website, which is nickelliottpictures.com. That is my online fine art gallery. So you can buy it from there. And also there's an awful lot of, a hell of a lot more imagery on there. That is all limited, some of it's open, but most of it is limited.
Mm. Right, just before we let you go, what is your next project, Nick, that you're going to be moving on to?
Well, my next project is will be the start of the rock book, which is the first rock book that's coming out, the volumes that we're going to do. I've been commissioned to do a book for Cambridge Folk Festival, which will be a celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Folk Festival, which is in 3 years' time. Which I start work this summer at the festival this year, in between a lot of book promos and signings and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be outside, because I am a working photographer, so I'm working with a lot of artists and that throughout the summer. Metallica, as I mentioned earlier on, you know, at Sonosphere. And so it's really into the book then, into the early autumn and then into the winter. But I should be shooting various different stuff right through to the end of the year.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, listen, Nick, thank you so much indeed for being one of the guests on my radio show.
Not a problem, Sean. It's been very, very enjoyable. Thanks for your time, mate.
No problem. Just hang on there for a minute as we cross back over to the studio for some music.